Amen and amen. Can we just say that this morning? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You can have your seats if you want. This morning, we're starting a new series, and I'm excited to start that. It's a little out of my comfort zone because I'm doing something different today. So before we, we'll let the kids get on out to Children's Church, and I'll kind of introduce what we're doing. And I want to open up in prayer, so I remember to pray. I always like to pray before I start preaching because I need God's help. Am I the only one that needs God's help every time and everything that I do and every step that I take? If I don't, I'll be up like that meme that you see going around the internet where the guy's all tangled up in the ladder at the bottom of his staircase and it says, me leaning on my own understanding. Have you ever seen that? And he's all tangled up. I love that because that's me. But the title of the sermon today is A Functioning Member or A Functioning Church Member. But the series we're going to be doing is at least 6 weeks. That's what I said at the beginning of the Matthew study that took 3 years. I am Fork Union Baptist Church. And if you notice, if you look at the little I, that's not a typo because I don't know why. That was just on my heart. I saw that on a t-shirt a long time ago in another church. And I love that because we're less than Christ, right? Christ, he said, I am. God said, I am. I always like to just reminds me because I'm less than God. It's just a little I, so I like that. So I am Fork Union Baptist Church is going to be the series that we're going to be doing based off of this book that I recommended about a month ago or so. I read through it, and I've been reading back through it and studying it and going into the scriptures and reading it, and I've really just grown and I've been challenged by myself. So I want to remind you of this before we get into this sermon, before we get into this series. There's going to be a lot of things that we need to correct. All right? A lot of it is based out of 1st and 2nd Corinthians where that church was messed up. All right? They had some problems. They didn't mean to have problems necessarily, but they just got off track. And Paul was trying to get them back on track to what God really wants from his church. And so it's not a punch to where I think the church is wrong and that's why we're doing this or anything like that. And I want to remind you, I'm not preaching down to you because I joined this church as a member of this church. I grew up as a member of a church long before I was a pastor. So I'm preaching to myself. We're going to talk about what we need to correct. Maybe what we can do better. What we're doing good. Maybe what we're doing bad. So we can be real with ourselves. So we can make sure that we're the church that God wants us to be. Does that make sense? All right, let's pray and we'll get started. Father, we love you this morning. And Lord, we will choose to praise this morning. Lord, your word tells us, let everything that breathes praise the Lord. God, we take it for granted. We forget so often what a privilege it is, what a responsibility it is, what a blessing it is to be your church. God, I pray for a great awakening. I pray for a great awakening in your church, not just here at Fork Union Baptist Church, but across the world. And Lord, I pray that you will light a fire in our soul to remind us of the purpose of your church, your bride. We're to be functioning members. God, I pray that each one of us would be open our minds up, open our hearts up, and see maybe we can have that attitude that makes a difference in the church. So also we can go out and make a difference in the world. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So as I said, most of my outline is going to come, you know, was based off of this book that I recommended everybody read. And I'm always careful about recommending a man-written book to somebody. Because most of the time, I like to say, it's the only book I really like to read. Because I know there's no political views, there's no personal opinions, right? It's just the truth from God's word. So I'm a little leery of sometimes of being like, hey, we're gonna, you know. So if you're here today and you're like, why is he doing a sermon series based off of a book? It all is based off of Scripture. The author of the book always pulls his information from the Scripture, and that's what I love about it. And it's why I've fallen in love with it. So we're gonna spend some time in the Scripture. But I want us to remember what we talked about last week. The choir just sang about it. Thy word, right, is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. We talked about being faithful to the Lord. He's always been faithful to us. We need to in turn be faithful to him. And it's not too much for him to expect us to do so. We talked about faithful feet, having faithful words, having a faithful memory, and having a faithful heart. And I truly believe that real faithfulness to God starts right in the church. Your faithfulness to serving the local church. So this book that I've been enjoying reading And the scriptures that it's been pointing to, this book paints a picture at the very beginning. If anybody else got it, it's not an expensive book. It's very cheap. It's like $10 on Amazon. I would recommend that you get it. If you don't have it, if you need to see it, come see me and I'll point you to it. But I'll even buy you one. But I love it because it really paints a picture at the very beginning of two different church members. All right. So the first church member views church membership as like a country club membership, maybe. Like, so I'm a member of this so I can get something back out of it. The kind of membership where you pay your dues, you put some money in the offering plate, maybe even you're faithful to tithe and give above and beyond, but it's given with expectations. Now, I'm a member of this church. I want, you know, people will join a church so they have a place to be buried. That's sad, right? They want to join to get perks back from the place. And the second is a member that he paints is a member who joins a church looking for an opportunity to serve others. Amen. So there's two different church members. Research shows that from a study that he points to is a little dated, so it could be a little changed, but I thought it's scary. The study when it was completed said that 9 out of 10 churches in the United States of America are on the decline, are dying. 9 out of 10 churches are actively dying. And if they're not dying, they're at least growing at a pace that is much slower than their community is growing. So let that sink in for a minute. Simply stated, churches are losing their ground right in their own backyards. You look around us, church, this community has grown. This church should be filled to the point where we have to have 5 services. There's so many people in this community. If you really think, every church in this county should have to have several services to have people coming and worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Simply stated, we're losing ground in our own backyards. And we look at it in a generational, like different generations, we see this. About 2/3 of the builder generation, that's those born before 1946, I'm not going to make you raise your hands, are Christian. So 2/3 of that generation are Christians. Yet only 15% of the millennials are Christians. All right, now what's scary about that is the millennial generation is the largest generation in American history. Almost 73 million members, and only 15% are professed Christians. So we can blame the times in which we're living in and the culture of our time, and we can say, man, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. You ever heard that? We can blame that, and there's some truth maybe there a little bit. We can try to blame the corrupt politicians. They deserve a little bit of blame, right? We can even blame the news media. We can blame this. We can blame that. But the author of this book that I've enjoyed reading, and it's convicted me, says that we, church members, need to take a look in the mirror when we start casting blame for what's going on in the country. And I wholeheartedly agree with him, especially after digging into the scriptures. Why is this? Well, I believe it's because we've lost the biblical meaning of what a real church member, or the real person, a part of the body of Christ, the church, not just Fork Union Baptist Church, what the purpose of God's church is. Amen. I've heard this saying before, and sadly it proves to be true in so many churches. 10% of the people within the church do 100% of the work. All right, you ever notice? I mean, think about it. It's a lot of times you see the same people are there serving and doing things. All right, 10% of the people do 100% of the work. I was thinking about this morning, and I'm not a mathematician, but if 100% of the people were got involved, they'd only have to really do 1% of the work. Am I right on that? I mean, that's not real hard math, but like, what is it? There's no I in team, and like, what is it? Like, you know, you work smarter, not harder, and the more people that get involved, the lighter the load gets. And the more that you get accomplished. And all too often, we join churches wanting people to serve us or wanting maybe to be fed spiritually. And that's part of it. Maybe to care for us. I have been cared for here lately. I'm telling you, I've been cared for. I've had more casseroles, soups, pies since my shoulder's already healed. I'm just going to keep wearing this thing. But often we expect those things. We expect, I'm a member of this church and I pay good money to that church, or I've done this to the church. Why hasn't anybody come and visited me? Why hasn't anybody said hi to me? Why hasn't anybody called me this week? And we expect to be served. We don't want hypocrites in the church, right? We don't want somebody with a little speck in their eye coming in the church. But we fail to see the telephone pole that's hanging out of our eye. Right? And so we have to be real with ourselves, starting with me, church. But the truth is this. God didn't give us the local church so it could become a country club. It's not supposed to be a civic organization where membership means that you have some kind of privileges and perks in your membership. If you spend any time within a local church, especially those of you that have probably grown up in a little Baptist church somewhere, you may have heard some twisted views of the church. I'm going to give you a couple. All right, now look, don't throw stuff at me. I love these because they kind of make me chuckle. Because if we haven't heard them exactly, they're a little exaggerated. You've heard something like this. This is my church, so I want the music the way that I want it. Right? Come on, somebody. Look, pastor, you need to remember who pays your salary. Right? I've never heard that yet. I've been a member of this church yet. I've been a member of this church for 30 years, so I have the right to get what I want. This is my favorite one. I don't pay good money to this church to listen to sermons that long. All right, look, if that's you, I'm not hating on you this morning. Look, I'm trying to give you the most bang for your buck, okay? That's all it is. Now, that might be a little exaggerated, but sadly, this is the mentality. No, so it might not be the exact statements, but this is the mentality that a lot of church members fall into. And it doesn't mean you're a bad person if you've ever said one of those things or had that thought or your members. The church in Corinth was the same way. It's not a new problem. We're human. And so sometimes we need a reset and we need to be reminded of what membership of the church really looks like. This wrongful view of membership sees tithes and offerings as dues that entitle memberships to a people who are members of the church to a never-ending list of privileges and maybe even like expectations instead of an unconditional, cheerful gift to God. And you say, God, you have blessed me so much. I'm ready to give this back to you. That's what it's about. I don't expect anything in return. You've already blessed me. Instead, he created the church, his bride, for the purpose of serving others, for praying for others, to pray for their leaders of the church, to learn the truth from God's word, and then go out and share it with others, to teach the word of God. And even in some cases, all around the world is happening probably right now, to die for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nobody wants to hear that. We want to come to church. We're in a sanctuary. We want to come to church and we want to just worship and we want things the way we want it. But there are Christians all throughout the Bible, all throughout the history of time, even today, that being a part of the church of Jesus Christ, being a church member, they know when they join will cost them their life. It's time. I believe it with everything in me. It is time to become the church member that God intended for me to be, for you to be. And it's time, instead of being entitled, you know what? Instead of quit passing the blame to others, because once we quit passing the blame and we look at the own telephone pole in our own eye, you know what we see? Just maybe, one heart at a time. We went to a Matt Maher concert a couple weeks ago, and this was last Friday. He had this song, One Heart at a Time, One Heart at a Time. He said, the world changes one heart at a time. You can get discouraged and say, man, is the gospel even doing anything? It starts one heart at a time. One heart at a time. And maybe if we got our concept right, if we took a look in the mirror and we see how I can improve as a church member, one heart, just maybe, one heart at a time, one community at a time, this country can be built around the church once again. Amen? Are y'all with me this morning? Because I remember looking up the history of Fork Union Baptist Church when we kind of designed the logo for the church, and that's the two rivers of the Point of Fork, the James and the Rivanna. And I never forget it said there was nothing in this end of the county whatsoever, just a wagon trail in the early 1900s. A group of believers from Lyle Baptist Church came and planted this church where multiple denominations met in this building. It wasn't just a Baptist church. And it said the community was built around the church. I believe God wants to do it again, and I believe he's doing it again. But for that to happen, we got to have more workers. It can't be the 10%, 100% rule. It's got to be 100% of the church getting involved, sold out for Christ, and we're going to go serve, and it's not going to be about us. We're going to be the little I, and we're going to be Fork Union Baptist Church. But guess what? This isn't a new need either. Jesus himself, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 38, he says this. All right, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching the synagogues and announcing the good news. See, he was an active He was a functioning member. He was active. He was going out teaching and announcing the good news about the kingdom. He was healing every kind of disease and illness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Listen what he says to his disciples. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. You want to know what Jesus wants us to pray for here? You want to know what your pastor prays for all the time? I echo this prayer of my Savior. He says this, so pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into the fields. We need more workers. We need more workers in the church. I hope by the end of this series that each of us, starting with me, will discover that church membership, what it really means. And maybe it will change the impact this church body right here at Fork Union Baptist. Like I said, maybe it'll change and then it'll spill over into the community. And hopefully the goal is, I know God's goal is for it to spill over into the whole world. So the first thing we need to understand about church membership is this. We are all called to be functioning church members. So what does that mean? What does that really mean? We're going to have 3 points today, backed by Scripture, that really show us what I believe it means to be a functioning member of the body of Christ. Here's number one. Point number one, we're going to get right into it. I know that was a long introduction, but the points will flow pretty fast. We are all necessary parts of the whole. Don't laugh on that. I heard somebody laugh. They said it would be fast. Somebody laughed on it. We are all necessary parts of the whole. I believe wholeheartedly the main reason that this church is experiencing the growth and the things that we're doing, the good things that are happening here in this church, is because everybody and all the people that are stepping up and getting involved. Right? There's so many people behind the scenes. There's no full-time staff at this church. There's no staff that's here 24/7 or Monday through Friday, whatever. The church members are stepping up and doing things. But we still need more workers. But see, so many churches, so many leaders easily forget that we're all necessary parts of the whole body. And sometimes it's not because you don't want to serve. It's because you think you're not good enough. Or you think you don't have some kind of gift. Some churches expect the pastor to do everything. Well, that's the pastor's job. He needs to go minister to somebody. He needs to go share the gospel. This person needs to hear about Jesus because they're on their deathbed. The pastor needs to go see them. Right? The pastor needs to go make all the visits. The pastor needs to do this and needs to do that. Or maybe the paid staff, whoever it is, the youth pastor or the music minister, they need to do these things. While some church leaders want all the control. Nobody can do anything because I want it the way that I want it. So I'm going to, as the pastor, I don't want you to do that. I'll handle that. I'll take care of that because I want the credit for it. I want it to be the way that I want it. And then there's these other churches who don't trust their leaders and give them any control. But you work for me and you're going to do what I say to do. And we're not doing anything new outside the box. I don't care what God told you. We're not doing that because this is this kind of church or that kind of church. And we don't do that here. But the Bible is very clear that each person that's here today, each person in the church has a necessary role in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I meant to tell you where to go to, but if you want to, when you find 1 Corinthians chapter 12, stay there, because we're going to be in chapter 12 and chapter 13 today, just pulling out a couple things. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 and 28 says this, and we'll have it on the TV as well. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some. Now notice, he doesn't say all. But here's just some of them. He highlights some of them. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for his church. First, the apostles. Second, are prophets. Third, are teachers. Then there are those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, and those who speak in unknown languages. I love, if you go back up about three lines, it says, those who help others. I like how that's squeezed right in there, because a lot of times people say, well, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a teacher, I've never performed miracles, right? I don't have the gift of leadership, I don't know unknown languages, but right in the middle of all those amazing gifts, it's just somebody who goes along and helps somebody. You know why? Because it's just as important, and it's just as amazing to go out and be having the gift of saying, I can go help somebody. That covers a multitude of gifts. One of the biggest blessings for a pastor, one of the biggest blessings that I can see inside the church or out in the community or whatever, is to watch other church members grow in their faith and to walk out and to find their spiritual gifts and start serving in the church in their community. It is such a blessing to stand back and be like, man, look at the fruit. Look at what God's doing in this person's life. Look at them serving and stepping up and getting out of their comfort zone. That is the biggest blessing that any church leader could ever have. And the Bible's very clear that the church is to look like a human body. There are many parts of a human body. Did you know, I just looked it up this morning. Now this is according to Google. If there's a doctor in the room and I'm wrong, just tell me later. 206 bones in a human body. Just in one hand, 27 bones right here. None of them are the same. They're all different. Some of them, they're all in there just working to hold my hand the way it's supposed to be, to hold my body upright. Maybe not my shoulder. But all those bones in my hand, they're all different, but they're working together for the greater good so you can pick up things, so you can raise your hand and worship, so you can help others, so you can turn the pages in your Bible. It's all there. All the different bones. Though they are different, they are a necessary part of the whole body. And this leads right into the next point. Number two is this. Church membership. To be a member of the church means that we have to understand, we have to believe, we have to live it out, that it means that we are all different, but we still work together. Amen. We are all different, but we still work together. If you join the country club, ultimately what you're doing is you're paying your dues so you can get things the way that you want it. So you can go and you can relax, like going on a cruise. You pay that money, and so you can kick your feet up and say, I just want to come and be blessed. Right? But with the body of Christ, everybody, we just read it. Paul wrote in there, he said, everyone has a part to do. Everybody has a role that they need to fill. They were created for it. Some are hands, some are feet, some are ears, some are eyes. We're all different, but we're necessary parts of the body of Christ. You know, the Bible makes it very, very clear that when one part of the body, when it's striving, or when it's thriving, it's doing well, when it's functioning well, and it does its job to the full of its, the best it can do, the whole body does better. But it also says when one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. That tells us that we're all different, but we got to work together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you look at verse 26, it says this, if one part suffers, all the parts suffers with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. I love how the Lord works. I don't think he ripped my bicep tendon and messed my shoulder up and wore it out just so I could preach this sermon series and have an illustration. But I love how it works because I have found this in the last couple weeks, how much and how hard it is when one part of your body is not functioning properly. I can't hold a cup of coffee and open a door. Have you ever tried to brush your teeth with your non-dominant hand? The struggle is real. All right. Have you ever tried to put on socks with one hand? It's like I got to put my big toe in and stretch it out. It's a daunting task. It's crazy. And I told Jenny, my wife, before I got the surgery, I said, man, I'm looking forward. I'm going to have several weeks off from, or maybe even months off from work, and I'm going to get all this stuff done. And she said, I think you're underestimating what's getting ready to happen. I've been getting a lot of stuff done, all right, sitting in my recliner, because I can't function properly. So with that being said, let me make something clear from this podium today, from the pulpit today, if you will. I want to make something clear. So if you've zoned out or you're sleepy, if you don't hear anything else, listen to this morning. If this is your first Sunday ever stepping foot into a church building or to this church building, I want you to know that God has a work for you to do here. And we want you to get plugged in, and we want you to get involved, and we need you here. If this is maybe you've been here for 30, 40, 50 years, and I want to promise you this, God still has work for you to do. God has a work for you to do. Our gifts may be different, our talents may be different, our backgrounds may be different, our skin color may be different, our preferences may be different, our political views may be different. Our personalities are definitely going to be different, right? But see, membership of the church, not my church, a little I. Membership of Christ's church, of God's church, means that we're all different, but we're still going to work together. Amen. You have to make that choice every time. Say, oh man, a pastor's getting on my nerves. Just say, it doesn't matter. I'm still going to serve. Because I'm not serving him, I'm serving Christ. Right? Or such and such brother or sister is getting on my nerves, or my deacon didn't come and visit me like he should have, or she should have, or whatever. I don't care. I'm not giving up. I still got a work to do because we're all different and nobody's perfect. And it's not always easy. But if we depend on the Word, right, and we go back to the Bible and say, what does the Bible say for me to do? What is that lamp showing around my feet? What's that light shining? What path is it telling me to take? Right? If we depend on the Holy Spirit, we say, God, this person is getting on my every last nerve. I don't see how I can work with them. God, I need your help. He will do it. He's faithful. Because you know what? There's somebody probably praying that prayer for you. Not only is it possible to work in the midst of our differences, but if you trust the Lord and you trust the Word and you trust the Holy Spirit and you do it with the right attitude and the right heart, you know what you'll find? That it will be enjoyable, that it will be glorious to serve as a part of the church. Amen?
Amen.
Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14 says this: make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Now that might seem like, man, does God really expect me to do that? That's tough. But listen to what he goes on to say. He says, remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must also forgive others. Above all, he says, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. My dad told me once that, he said, let me tell you something. He said, God is a God of harmony. He's not a God of division. So anything divisive in the church, it's not from God. You can guarantee that. I've got it written in my Bible next to this passage in the scripture. And this leads right into the next point, the last point for today. Number three is this. If we're going to be a member of the church, if we're going to be a part of the body of Christ, everything we say, everything we do has to be based on the kind of love that we find right here. Not what the world tells us love is or whatever. Where does the Bible say? What is the biblical foundation of love that we see recorded in the scriptures according to God? What kind of love does he have? Everything we say, everything we do has to be based on a biblical foundation of love. You know, most Christians, or if anybody who's ever been in the church or spending time reading the Bible or been to weddings or anything else, they've heard of the love chapter. Right? They might even not know what it is, but it's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. A lot of people call that the love chapter. And it's read as a part of wedding ceremonies all the time between a husband and a wife making the vows to each other. It's preached so often to demonstrate the full meaning and that agape, unconditional love that God has for us. And while there's nothing wrong with using this chapter and using these verses in that context, because I believe it all applies, this was intended originally, it wasn't written for a husband and a wife. It was written to the church in Corinth. It was written to a church to remind them how they were to love each other, and not to a husband and wife. So as we talk about being a functional member of the body of Christ, as we talk about being a functioning member of the body, as we think about the fact that we all have a necessary part of the whole to play a part in the church, as we realize the fact that we're all different, but God expects us to come together for the good of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we realize that 1 Corinthians 13 was written to us as a church, maybe when we read it real quick, we'll get the whole meaning of what this scripture really is there for and what it needs to tell us at Fork Union Baptist Church. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the first 7 verses say this: if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clangy cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. This is when he goes on to say this in verse 4. He says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. I love that. Love never gives up. Somebody here today is giving up on the church or is thinking about throwing in the towel. Don't give up, because love never gives up. Never loses faith. is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Notice he didn't say some circumstances, church. He said every circumstance we are to endure if we have that biblical foundation of love. Just think how healthy this church, but think how healthy the church around the world, think how healthy the church here in the United States of America would be if we simply just abided by the principles that we just read. Church members have to be founded on love. The membership in a church has to be founded by that authentic, biblical, unconditional, never-ending, not going to give up, never loses faith, always hopeful, enduring through every circumstance kind of love. The kind of love that keeps not as many, but no record of wrongdoing. There's somebody here today, if you're like me, who will hang on to something. Yeah, I'm not speaking to her because she did this to me back in 1987. I remember it. I walked in the church and she gave everybody else a bulletin, but she didn't give me one. She must not like me. I'm not going to that church. I went there for 3 weeks and nobody came over to meet me. I'm not coming back there. I've been a member of this church for this long and nobody's ever called to do this or do that or whatever. That happens. But if we have that real unconditional foundation, biblical foundation of love, you know what we'll be busy doing? We'll be so busy serving others that we're not going to be going around asking, why isn't anybody serving me? Amen. That's what a real church member should look like, right? Jenny has a shirt and somebody else, I think Lisa has one of the shirts. I love it. It says something about it's hard to cast stones when you're washing feet, right? We need to remember that sometimes. The author of the book, I Am a Church Member, Tom Rainer, he says this in his book in chapter 1. He says, we are not to love fellow church members just because they are lovable. I think Jesus said something like that. What do you get if you just love your friends, right? He says, love your enemies. He goes on to say this, we are to love the unlovable as well. We are not to pray for and encourage our pastors just when they're doing the things we like. We are to pray for and encourage them when they do the things we don't like. We are not to serve the church only when others are joining in. We are to serve the church even if we are alone in doing so. Fork Union Baptist Church, look at me this morning. Everything that we say here, everything that we do as a part of Fork Union Baptist Church has to be based on a biblical foundation of love. Love for God, love for Jesus, for what he did for us on the cross. Always going back and remembering that God forgave me when I didn't deserve it. And we extend that to our brother and our sister in Christ. We extend that to our neighbor. That's how we become the church. An effective church anyways. This should be the true in every area of our life, but certainly when we serve within the church walls or within the community or within the church body. Church membership means that we're all necessary parts of the whole body. There's nobody here that God doesn't want plugged in. Church membership means that we're all different, but we still work together. Thank goodness we're all different. Thank goodness we're all different. Did you know you can go around the world and you can look and check every fingerprint and nobody will have the same thumbprint as you? God created you for a purpose. If you don't believe that, go read Psalm 139 today and see that he knit you together in your mother's womb. He has a purpose and a plan for you. And as a church member, it means that everything that we say, everything that we do is based on a biblical foundation of love. And we have to remember this. We're called to be functioning members, right? Biblical church membership serves and ministers to other people as a natural way of doing things. That's it. The concept of an inactive church member, I think we even have in our constitution, in our yearbook, we have inactive church members. And I'm not saying we're wrong on that. I'm just saying, but really, I can't find anything in the Bible that says an inactive body member of the Christ, of Christ. I've never seen anything that says, if you don't want to be an active member of the body of Christ, just get on the inactive list, right? That doesn't exist in the Bible. No such church member should even exist. Now, that doesn't mean that there won't be a time where somebody they can't get out of their house. Maybe they're shut in or they're old, whatever. They still have a role. They can pray. They can pray. They can give. They can encourage somebody. So as we close this morning, I want to remind us this. I should never ask myself, you should never ask yourself, if I should serve my church. I should never ask myself if I should be serving in the church. Instead, what we should be, the ongoing question to be asking myself, the ongoing thing that we should be praying about constantly is this: God, show me the best way that I can serve your church. How can I best serve my church? How can I best serve the body that I'm in? Amen? Amen. Maybe if we had that attitude, just starting this series, hopefully by the end of it, our eyes will be open to realize that not only does God expect you to serve, but God is going to bless you as you serve. Now, I don't mean he's going to put $100 bills in your pocket when you come and mow the grass at church, Danny. All right? I know that's what, nah. I pick on him because he mows the grass. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden you're going to win the lottery because you get it plugged in and you start working in the church. I'm telling you, he's going to bless you with joy and peace like you've never experienced when you start serving others. Why? Because that's why God created you. God chose to use you as a part of his plan. Romans chapter 12, we're going to end with this. It's just echoing the other scriptures, but I wanted to go here just to reference it from another place in the Bible. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 through 5 says this: just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function. There's a functioning member. So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. If we look at it and we belong to each other, all of a sudden it's a little bit easier to take care of one another and to love one another. If you have that little pledge that was handed out this morning, hand that, just grab that and look at that. We're going to read over that today. And what I want to encourage you to do is this. Each week, you are going to receive one of these pledges. All right? Please don't leave them in the pew. That just breaks my heart. All right? Take them home. Don't make a paper airplane out of them. Take them home. Save them at the end of this and maybe use them. Keep them in your Bible and go back. I'm going to do it. I've been doing it as I've been studying this. I've been reading these pledges and God's been revealing to me things that I need to change. And once you've prayed about it, and once you've read through this, and you've read the scripture references that are attached to it, sign and date it. If nothing else, to hold yourself accountable. And keep that as a record and say, no, I'm going to go back to that. And you're going to keep going back. And this is what it says. The first pledge, it says, I am Fork Union Baptist Church. Now, if you're a member of another church, and you're visiting here today, hey, take this and plug in your body that you're plugged in with. Because God wants you to serve there. It says this. I like the metaphor of membership. It's not membership as in a civic organization or a country club. It's the kind of membership given to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And he quotes it. He says, now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. And then he references 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 27. He says, because I am a member of the body of Christ, I must be a functioning member. Whether I'm an eye or an ear or a hand, as a functioning member, I will give, I will serve, I will minister, I will evangelize, I will study, I will seek to be a blessing to others, and I will remember that if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. And Lord, I just pray that we would not only take this pledge that was written by a man, Lord, but we would take the scriptures that are attached to it and where it came from that were inspired by it, this book or the sermon or anything else, that we would go back to the scriptures and that we would look at the design that you have for your church, the purpose that you have. You have a work for us to do that goes so far beyond just coming for an hour on Sunday mornings. Lord, there's a purpose that we're here. There's a purpose. There are people in our community that are desperate to hear what we have found. Break the complacency, God. Break the comfort zones. Break the selfishness that's naturally in our hearts from our sinful nature. And let us see the purpose. And let us realize that I am the body of Christ. And I am called to be a functioning member of that body. And I'm called to give you all the glory. All the glory. Father, if there's somebody here today, Lord, that's never known what it feels like to be welcomed by your grace and your forgiveness. There's somebody here today that's never experienced what it's like to be in a church family, in the body of Christ. Lord, I pray today that you would do a work in their heart and that they would allow you to work in their heart. And when that time is right, that they would come and they would join your body. It doesn't have to be Fork Union Baptist Church. It can be the church down the road. It can be a church across the other side of the world, but they would get plugged in, they would get involved and become a functioning member and find their spiritual gift within the church and to fulfill their purpose for being created. Lord, we love you this morning and we praise you. And we don't say that in vain this morning. Lord, we thank you for the church. We thank you for looking at us as your bride. Lord, we love you and we praise you again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Take this pledge with you this week as we sing the closing song. Maybe just let God reveal to you, what kind of church member are you? What is your attitude about the church? And if you want to join this church and become a part of this church, that's what this time is for. If you want to come and pray, I'll be glad to pray with you. If you are ready to come up and say, today I have decided to follow Jesus and to become a part of the body of Christ, and you want to tell everybody about that, we're going to rejoice with you. Because if one part of the body is honored, what does it say? The whole body rejoices. And the Bible says over one person, one lost sinner comes to the Lord, all of heaven rejoices and the angels are up there singing. Now come on, somebody. If that's you today, come as we sing.
Hello, my name is Anthony Clore, and I'm honored to be the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I hope you were blessed by the message today, and I want to encourage you with this. God is always willing and always waiting, and always wants to do great things in our lives when we simply read the Bible and hear biblical preaching and teaching. But we must allow what we hear to be applied to our lives. So if you feel God tugging at your heart or speaking to you today, I want to encourage you to stop whatever you're doing right now and respond to Him personally. And if you would like to let us know what God is doing in your life through this podcast ministry, we would be so blessed if you would reach out to us by email at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Again, that's churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. You can also try us at our office at 434-842-3390. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope that someday you will join us in person. We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Take care and God bless.